Zion gore, Ale Zion gore, Ale Zion gore, Ale Zion gore, Ale Zion gore.
We're going to do tonight Leilu Nishmat, the two precious neshamot that we're learning in their memory. Bezrat Hashem, finally, Uva L'Tzion Goel. It should just be. It should just be already. Friends, I'm sure you're feeling it really, really intensely. There is this thing in the air where you know that you don't want to miss out on the opportunity that this holy, holy day called Purim presents before us. You all know that the Arizal spoke about the concept of Purim and Yom Kippur's similarity. But it's not that Purim is like Yom Kippur, it's that Yom Kippur is like Purim. It's a big difference between the two. Arizal says Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur is like Purim, which means we need to understand, what have we been missing all the years when we thought that Purim was really about, you know, for instance, I come from Beverly Hills, right? The Beverly Hills Shalach Manas, we always speak about it every year. Wow, the Beverly Hills Shalach Manas, those Mishlochei Manot, all about size and glamour and whatnot. It must be we missed that. Even costumes, not to be a party pooper, Chas V'Shalom, but even that's not the Inyan either. What is it about this day that we want to make sure we don't want to miss the opportunity that this day in its essence presents before us? Now, if something is so holy, then you would think that it would have a proper hachana, a proper preparation. Like we know for Shavuot, there's 3 days before we receive the Torah. It's called Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah. And as we know, when it comes to other chagim as well, the sense of, with Pesach, there's a sense of preparation. For Rosh Hashanah, you have a whole month. For Yom Kippur, you have those powerful Aseret Yimei Teshuva. Purim pops up out of nowhere. Now, yeah, it should be that really 30 days before Purim, we should start to receive the Kedusha of the Chag and start learning about Purim already on Tu B'Shvat. That's a month before. But when something is so holy, when something is so precious, the truth is there's no preparation in the world. I'm speaking about it because it just
happened by us just a few weeks ago. Like I always say, right behind this wall, mamish, in that other room,
where my dear wife brought our son, Nachman, into the world. You think there could be any prep? Is there any preparation for a child? I mean, don't get me wrong. The nesting that was going on in this house was insane for like 3 months of nesting. So there was that preparation. But on the deepest depths, there is, for the deepest things in life, there is no preparation. However, we don't want to show up to Purim without having a sense of what are we looking for? What are we aiming for? Now, over the years in our learnings that we've done, we've dug deep into the four mitzvot hayom to understand the opportunity of the day. Because essentially, that's really what Purim is. It's four mitzvot of the day. Reading the Megillah, Mishloach Manot, Matanot Le'evyonim, and having a Seuda. And every year we've kind of taken one of these concepts and spent time on it. And we're going to do something similar tonight, a little bit different, but similar. And I believe that through this way of us tuning into Purim, since you don't need a preparation, because you know how many times I said to somebody, good Purim throughout this whole year? It's been Purim all year long. All year long has been Masechot. All year long has been like, Ben-ha-fo-fo. Like, what is going on over here? So that means that Purim has to be a million, million, million times deeper than whatever we knew it was before. And that means that there's avoda to do. I did this radio show a few days ago. The broadcaster was asking me these questions. And he said that his friends think that he's crazy. Why? Because he always defines Purim as the day which leaves him with the most internal work to ponder on after the day. Zot omeret, something happens to us, and something can happen to us on Purim if we have enough guts, which will leave us with an amazing amount of work to do on ourselves. So I'm reminded of a teaching that we learned from Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the holy Rav Kook, the first chief Rav, the one and only. And in the past, we've reenacted what it was like to be by his Purim Suda and his Purim Tish. It was one of the svarim we have. This is a great sefer everyone should get, a phenomenal sefer. It's called Mo'adei HaRe'aya. And what it is, it's a collection of teachings, stories, and things that happened by Rav Kook's table during the different holidays of the year. And this was put together by his famous student, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria. And it's a beautiful book. And we've learned a lot from it. Mamash, a lot from it. The chevra here, learning it for a while. One of the things that Rav Kook taught on Purim was a very important thing. Right now, we're in between this, like, Chol HaMoed Purim, because Shabbos was Timchad Zecher HaMalek. And then until we go into Friday, it's like we're the in-between of like, are we getting done with Amalek or not? So Rav Kook says an amazing teaching to help us understand the opportunity of the day. I want you to listen really closely, Chavrim. And really, the truth is, I don't want you to, God forbid, think that I'm like at all preaching this. This is something that I'm hoping and praying that I'm holding on to and opening my heart to implement myself. When it comes to the Lamed Tet Avot Melacha, the 39 Avot Melacha, the 39 actions that you're not permitted to do on Shabbos, one of them is called a Mochek. Mochek means to erase. You're not allowed to erase anything. Just like you're not allowed to write anything, you're also not allowed to erase anything. Okay, now listen to this. If you erase but have no intention of filling anything in the place that you erased, so the halacha is, it's not really the melacha of mochik. It's the mechika be'alma. That means it's not really that you transgressed over the avera, but mechika means, this concept of mechika means in order to really be over to transgress the avera of erasing, I have to erase something with an intention and an action of filling in over the place that I erase something. Okay, so have that in mind. Rav Kook says, you know what the acid test of Purim is? This is so deep. He says, Purim is all about wiping out Amalek. But if you're just wiping out Amalek without the intention of filling in light in the place where there was darkness, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. So I want to repeat that again. There is a mitzvah to do a mechika, to erase something. And that is Amalek, who we're not really sure, we don't really understand that mitzvah on a physical level. But we know that in order to perform that mitzvah properly, it's not only about blotting out something, it's hakmochek al menat lichtov, that I'm erasing something in order to write something else in it. So we may be doing some real deep spiritual work on Purim, or at least we're under the assumption we are, by ridding ourselves of Amalek. But the question is, but what are you filling in the place of Amalek, right? So it's 5781. It's 2021, February 22nd. Tonight, is tonight Yud or Yud Aleph? What's tonight? Yud, right? I don't have, I'm sorry. Cross-match campaign, second vaccination a few hours ago. My mind is all over the place. We're in the height of like something very, very, very special. And the question is, what are we blotting out and what are we filling it in with? If I had to ask you this year, thank you, tonight's Yud Aleph. So this is very deep. Thank you, Mata Esther. That means that according to the Megillah, you all know that tonight is the first night, Yud Aleph is the first time that you're allowed to read Megillah. The earliest date that you can read Megillah in the Gemara is Yud Aleph Adar. So the energy is really in the air. Yafe. If I were to ask you based on what we've been going through this year, what do you think the Amalek is that needs to be wiped out? Think about it for a second. The answer has got to be different than whatever it was last year. Because if we haven't transformed, grown in awareness and consciousness based on the act, whatever's been going on this last year, then we're really in bad shape. So I want to say like this, friends, and I hope that you all really, really, really open your hearts with me, because I believe this is the nekuda of all nekudas of what we're trying to do right now. What Amalek we're trying to wipe out today. No one trusts each other. No one trusts each other. Do I trust that that person is asking for this for a real reason? Do I trust that that person did get his vaccination, didn't get his vaccination? Do I trust their sense of judgment? Do I trust their sense of Yiddishkeit? Do I trust their kashrus? Do I trust their children's sneers? Do I trust that rabbi's ulterior motives? Do I trust the sense of belonging in the community that I belong to? Do I trust myself? You know that the word emuna, faith, also comes from the word emun, which means trust, that we need to trust in ourselves. It must be, we have to trust Hashem, and we have to trust ourselves. So there's a beautiful pasuk in the Megillah, and I've been thinking about it a lot this year because I believe very strongly that the tikkun that we're all longing for has to do with trust. And that pasuk is, Vayehi omen et hadasa. So the full pasuk, I believe, is Vayehi omen et hadasa, ki ester bat dodo, ki en la av vaem, uvemot avia veima, lekacha Mordechai lo lebat. We all know that Esther Amalka was Mordechai's niece, but according to the Megillah, Mordechai's niece, Esther Hadasa, was an orphan from both sides. Once her parents died, Mordechai took her, he took upon himself to mechanech her, to educate her. What do we know from the story of the Megillah? That Mordechai was trying to implement into Esther Amalka two main things. Vayihi omen et hadasa is one of them. And I want to say that, you know, omen in Hebrew can mean, well, for instance, like I went to soccer practice when I was a kid, right? That was called imunim. like imune kadurega. Imune means like practicing, coaching, right? Imun ishim. But so it could mean vayehi omenet adasa, he was coaching her, but what was he coaching her? How was he her coach? What was he giving to her? Vayehi omenet adasa, he was giving her the secret of emun. He was teaching her. He felt so responsible to give her over the essence of Yiddishkeit, and saying, if you don't trust yourself, and if you don't trust how much Hashem believes in you, you're missing the whole point, Esther Amalka. Like he tells her a little bit later, Mi yodea im le'et kazot higat la'malchut, right? Who knows if it's not for this reason that you came to Malchus, and if you don't show up, Esther Amalka, and if you don't take things to the next level, guess what? Revach v'hatzala yamod le'yodim makom acher. If you don't learn how to trust yourself, and if you don't learn how to trust in other Yidden, then forget it. Someone else will rise to the occasion. But what we see here is that Mordechai gave over to Esther, on a chinuch level, the world of emun, vayehi omen. That was more or less what the whole purpose of Mordechai taking Esther into his house. That's how he raised her. He raised her to trust you. He raised her to trust yourself. And he raised her to trust the Ribbono Shel Olam. Esther got it. And basically was able to get through all the ins and outs of such a very, very warped story. Because she was able somehow to trust herself. Now listen to this. This is by far, I have three favorite Purim Torahs. I don't know if we'll get to all three of them right now, but one of them for sure we have to get to. And this we learned about 4 years ago. So I'm sure you all remember what I'm going to say because it was 4 years ago. So if I'm boring you, mechila. But for the sake of Chazara, we'll go over it, okay? So what a beautiful, beautiful Torah from the Ostravtser Rebbe, the great tzaddik, the Ostravtser Rebbe. What did we say before? We said that the Amalek that we have to wipe out is basically the power of not trusting each other, not trusting ourselves. But you know what? The Yehudim in Shushan, the Yehudim in Persia, had a very good reason to not trust each other. A very good reason not to trust each other. Why? How does the Megillah open up? What does it tell us about the Jews in Shushan Abiha? They all went to a very, not exactly a badat seuda. Like the story of the Megillah's Esther begins by all these very interesting people, including many Yidden, that are sitting around the seuda celebrating the fact that the Churban Beis Hamikdash is forever. Churban Beis Rishon is forever. A king is there, he's doing weird stuff with women, with wine, all these things. And Ashtiyah Chadat Einones, the drinking's all over the place, the food's everywhere, and everyone in Shushan is wondering, were you at that Seuda? Did you go to that Seuda? Can I trust your Hefcher? Can I trust your sense of judgment? What did Chazal establish as a result of coming out of Megillas Esther, of the whole story? What's Shalach Manas? Do I know your Hefcher? Shalach Manas means, Chazal said, you really want to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that you listen to what he was trying to tell us through the story of Esther? It's not just that we were almost about to be, you know, a total genocide, we were saved, and now it's this party. It's not that. Chazal, in their infinite prophetic wisdom, knew that in order to really take the light of Purim and put it into somewhat of a kli so that we could hold on to, we must do something which will bring about trusting each other. And the basic thing back then to trust each other was to be able to trust each other's kashrus. That I don't need, I believe in you enough that if you would give me something to eat, no matter where you were a few weeks ago, maybe you went to that suda, I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I know for sure that if you're shining with the light of Purim, you know that I can trust you, and I know that you can trust me, and that we could trust each other. If we have that, we have everything. So let's go back. Hamochek, I'm wiping out Amalek. I'm erasing it. I'm erasing the non-trusting. It's out of there, but it's almenat lichtov. It's an order so that I can meet you, trust you, and move from that day on of being what we call Purim friends. Not sometimes friends, it's always friends. The result of the story of Purim is that not only did we trust each other, with each other's kashrus, but it's that if I want to show my love and affinity to you, I don't have to give you anything glamorous. You could be yotzei the mitzvah of shalach manos with a banana peel and a little cookie. You know that, right? It does not have to be something so extravagant. It just doesn't. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble that you wait all year long for the most glorious, glamorous shalach manos, but it doesn't have to be that. You know why? Because if shalach manos is all about giving gifts to each other to show our love, do I have to do something crazy? Thank you, Tanya. Unconditional acceptance. I just have to let you know, you're always by me, there's always a place. And yeah, I'm doing it through this mitzvah of having a few things on over here. But be'emes lamito, my love for you, my sense of being able to show my love for you doesn't take anything that's out of nature and beyond nature for me. Just like the miracle of Purim, which was completely within the realm of nature. Here in Eretz Yisrael, for some amazing reason, we started a new minhag. It's a horrible minhag. But we have elections every 4 months. This is an amazing chap. It's like this whole new world, right? We have elections here every few months. And I have to say that elections bring out the worst in us. The worst. You know why? We're sitting behind the screen. We're watching on TV or on our phones or on our computers the people that are putting themselves out there as being nivcharei tzibur, the ones that are going to be chosen for the tzibur. And we can't trust just about anything anybody's saying. And Hashem has shown us now the fourth time in, I don't even know how short of a period this has been, but it's an amazing amazing thing that we have been coming back over and over and over again to a place of Hashem saying to us, what are you putting your trust in? And in Tehillim, we always say every morning, Al tiftachu bin divim b'ven adam she'en lo tshua, tetzeru cho yashuv la'admato, b'yom ahu avdu eshtonotav. What are you putting your trust in? So, on Purim, we say, Chuasam Aisa Lanetzach Vesikvasam Bechol Dor Vador. Our trust has to go in to the only thing that is always there. And that is Yuri Bono Shalom. Children trust their parents because they know that their parents are always there on the level of always, always, always. And I think that, you know, from the little that I've learned about your Abba Cheryl and a little bit of footage that I've seen of him from some videos, some stuff you've sent me. There's this sense, even though I didn't know him, that it's like this always there, a place of full on trust, full trust. And that's something that we wish, you know, we pray that all our children always, always have. Somehow, the goal of Purim and to come out of Purim is to hold on to Mordechai and Esther. That relationship, which was interesting, it was an uncle and a niece, but in the story of the Megillah, it ended up being like a father and a daughter. And I think it's to show us that essentially, all relationships we have must be fundamentally standing on the mountain of trust. It doesn't have to be a mountain, it can be invalid, it doesn't matter what it is. And when, you know, Am Yisrael trusts themselves again, you know what ends up happening? Well, what did we do after the story of Purim? We went, not all of us, but we went back to Eretz Yisrael and we built the second base on English, right? But apparently the trust wasn't that strong because that world of trust was betrayed again and it didn't last. It was only 420 years. which just means that in order for us to make sure Purim is Purim, when we take opportunity of the day, how do you know if Purim worked, like if we took advantage of it? Well, do I come out of Purim trusting people more? Do I take their Shalach Manas? And when I mean take their Shalach Manas, I don't mean only, like, do I actually literally take their Shalach Manas? I mean, on the deepest depths, do I really open my heart to who they are and what they seem to tell me about themselves and where they're at in life? Do I stop doubting what they really mean or not? Am I making it clear to them that in my book, they have all the trust in the world? It seems to me, and I mean, obviously none of us know for sure, and anyone that tells you, I know what it's going to take, you have to run away really far from them. But it seems to me that we're never, ever, ever going to have the same opinions about almost anything in the world. But can we at least all agree that if we don't learn to trust each other, we're heading nowhere? We're heading nowhere. So again, the result of Purim was that we trusted each other. And I want to give us a strong bracha right now. The few days before Purim are very, very strong days of tefillah. Remember Esther Amalka and her chaverot, they were fasting, right? It was a few days they were fasting. Started now. If Purim is going to be this Friday, that means that from tomorrow, they were fasting, right? Kivyachol, for a few days, right? Even though it's a little bit confusing because the story of Purim happens on Pesach, but it's not for now. It's another shir. So I think it's an amazing thing right now, is that Ribono Shel Olam, if I put this into a tefillah, is that it's so vulnerable to decide to trust someone. Oh my God. But I think it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. So first it's got to start with ourselves. It's what Mordechai was telling Esther, you got to trust yourself. You got to believe that deep down inside, you know the emes of all emes. Deep down inside, you know the answer to more or less every single question that you ever had and that you will ever have. And alavai, we come out of the story of Purim going one direction. For those of us that are here in Eretz Yisrael, we don't travel from Persia or from anywhere else in the world and come to Eretz Yisrael to build the third base of the Midrash. But it's got to be that the result will be that the third temple will be in our midst as a result of what this listening to the story of Purim and davening over being connected to the story of Purim for the next few days, that'll be the result. So in honor of what we're going to be sensing, I want to sing for you with you. This is when I learned this nigun, when I learned the following song that the Mishpacha asked me to sing, I'll never forget that I thought that this nigun was made just for me. I was 14 years old. I was certain this nigun was composed for me. I mean, if other people like it, that's nice, but it's totally my nigun. It's my nigun. And the words really are, there shall be peace and serenity amongst in our palaces, in our places of worship, in the places that are most precious to us. It starts with a little bit of nusach. And I want you right now to sing with me, say this word over and over again with me. Shalom. 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 Can you try it with me? I can't hear you anyway, so even if you have a horrific voice, no one will know but you. Shalom. 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 Yehi
machshava ve'armenotai yehi shalom me'chelech shava ve'armenotai yehi shalom Chayrech shalva ve'armenotai yehi shalom Chayrech shalva